Jason, to ask you, if somebody wants to get involved in planting trees on a Saturday morning and do
with Friends of Trees, you just surf on over to our website, friendsoftrees.org. We are about to wrap it up for this season. We plant from late October to early April. In the summer, we have some volunteer opportunities for summer inspectors to go look at the trees, that have recently been planted. But friendsoftrees.org has a ton of information, including a calendar of upcoming events.
And it's every Saturday morning, right?
Every Saturday morning, that's right.
April, and do you have to sign up in advance?
You do not. You can just show up. Thank you.
Right, thank you.
Thank you very much. Hi.
Good morning, City Council members, and good morning, gracious good morning to our Mayor Sam Adams. You're looking well today, Mayor Adams.
Thank you.
Thanks for the cup of coffee. That was good timing.
You're welcome.
Mayor always notices his constituents, and we've always been long supporters of Mayor Sam Adams' ideals, especially his ideology about vast riparian greenness and goodness in the city. I am reminded of the past, former Mayor Vera Katz, who actually had a hand in planting over 65,000 trees for our city. Mayor Vera Katz, as you well remember, was kind of short in stature, but big on ideas. Mm-hmm. Vera Katz was a real stalwart tree supporter, and I do believe that, you know, short people of short stature can do big things. And so thanks to her, we do have 65,000 trees here in a vast riparian green canopy around the city of Portland. We support that generally, and I would like to share that our lady friend from Heritage Trees, Diane, friend of mine up near the Westover Group, which the Westover Group is the people on Westover Road. They had a hand in bringing up quite a few trees that Vera Katz planted. Currently today, I would just like to share that the Girl Scouts are out there taking hikes in the woods periodically, especially after the April-May rainy season subsides and the ground warms up. And they share in that vast riparian green canopy effect. And the trails therein are made shady by the addition of trees. There's just one point I would like to bring up, that along the ridge, we need to reinforce that ridge with a few more trees. And my friend Garrity, you can tell by the name he's Irish, a little plug, has already grown trees that are over 30 feet tall. And I just wanted to support Garrity and his tree work, because whenever they put a tree in, it stays for years and years. And up on the ridge is where we need that. It's a windbreak. And in a vast, interesting relationship, the trees do give off oxygen while we absorb that and carbon dioxide in a symbiotic biological relationship that helps support mankind here with all the trees. So cities that have a lot of trees do well. We support it. Thanks a lot.
And thank you both very much for your testimony. It's interesting that San Antonio has many more trees per square foot than we do. And so as good as we are, especially for Pacific Northwest cities, we got room to improve. And I like this report shows that should inspire us for doing even more. So thank you both for being part of that.
Thank you.
All right, Carla, let's see, it's a report, so I'll entertain a motion to accept. It's been seconded, moved and seconded. Carla, would you please call the vote?
Fritz? Well, thank you to everyone on the Urban Forestry Commission for your great work on this and throughout the year. Thank you to the Portland Parks and Recreation Natural Areas Program and the Tree Liate Tree Program. Lots of good work being done. And thanks to all the volunteers who work in the neighborhoods. I do encourage folks to get involved in the Friends of Trees planting. It's good exercise, it's fresh air, and it's community building, because you have to do it together. I don't know if you noticed the picture of the big bald root tree that they were putting into the hole. But you have to. You can't do that by yourself. We're not talking about planting little saplings here. We're talking about big trees that go into neighborhoods and create canopy quickly. So I encourage folks to get involved in that. Thanks to Carrie Turkin on my staff, who looked into the report and also has become as enamored of tree planting as I am. Aye.
Fish.
Well, just to underscore the importance of trees, my wife and I bought a house in Northeast Portland in part because of the silver maple that was in front of the house. And within weeks of the closing, there was an ice storm and the tree was felled because it was rotten.
Oh, no, really?
and it damaged our house. And they, Veronica, if you're still here, then Mayor Katz sent me a bill for $800.
That was, you're lucky. I would have sent you one for $1,800.
That was my welcome, our welcome to Portland card, because that was the cost of actually removing the obstruction of the sidewalk caused by the silver maple falling on my house. So, I want to thank.
You're still here. So that's very good.
Are you voting yes or no? I just can't figure it out.
Still warming our house.
I'm glad you're not bitter.
We're still warming our house.
Sounds like you're voting against this.
So you didn't
still warming our house to thanks
trees.
To
eat for a month. Whatever.
Thank that maple for warming our house for 13 years. Brian and Joe, thank you for an excellent presentation. And Amanda mentioned it earlier about citizen volunteers, but the 11 members of the Urban Forestry Commission, appointed by the mayor, voted on by the council, are truly an extraordinary lineup. Brian is the president of Focus Point Communication. As mentioned, Joe is a professor of geography at Portland State. We also have landscape architects. We have members of Friends of Trees, corporate representatives, the director of Audubon. This is a stellar lineup, and they do great work. So thanks to the leadership and to all of the commission members for their good work. And since Dean Marriott is here, I also want to acknowledge the comment made about the tough budget we're in and the impact on urban forestry, our canopy, and our budget at parks. And I want to specifically thank Dan Saltzman and Dean for the creative thinking they're putting into as to how we can partner to maintain trees that are not on parkland. And this is yet another example of how the Bureau of Environmental Services and parks work effectively together to get the job done. And we'll have more to say about that at budget time. So thank you all for an excellent work product, and I'm extremely pleased to vote aye.
Saltzman.
Well, at the Bureau of Environmental Services, we're doing a lot of creative thinking these days, and that's something that we will continue to do. I'm really proud of the Bureau of Environmental Services' support for the Friends of Trees program. It's a very effective, and I think it's a recognition that the trees are indeed a capital resource and should be considered as such. And I also want to say that the citywide tree policy is my top priority for this year, not only getting a good policy in place that does justice both to homeowners and to trees, but to make sure that we have enforcement of our regulations and rules about cutting down trees, which all too often we've had abuses of that. So I'm particularly looking for a more seamless enforcement of our tree policies. But making sure we have adequate funding to make this tree policy work is my top priority for this coming year. But good work to the Forestry Commission, and I'm pleased to vote aye.
Leonard.
Well, notwithstanding Commissioner Fish's vitriolic attack against aging trees that have reached the end of their life cycle, I vote yes.
Adams.
Well, aging trees. I, too, am a fan of aging trees. I want that on the record. You can't take all the limelight for aging trees. Aye, good work. So approved. That gets us to the regular agenda item. Carly, can you please read the item number 336?
Direct the Bureau of Environmental Services to incorporate into its capital improvement plan Green Street projects on prioritized boulevards as identified in the council adopted Portland Bicycle Plan for 2030.
So in 2007, as sewer commissioner, with the support of this city council and a very talented staff recognized for their innovations in green infrastructure that saves money, this city council approved the Green Streets Plan for the city of Portland. In 2008, we began funding that plan with the resources that we had available. I think we all at the time, both at its initial passage and then at its subsequent funding, felt that it was underfunded and a modest amount to get that plan jump-started. But it was what we could do with the resources that we had on hand. Green Streets, and the reason that we passed that plan is that Green Streets have shown themselves from previous years of piloting under the leadership of Commissioner Dan Saltzman and others, that green streets have shown themselves to be an incredibly cost-effective way to deal with two things, to deal with pipes that are undersized, and that when people are using the sewer pipes and it's raining very hard, combined sewer pipes, under those conditions, will back up into businesses and people's basements. We especially have a part of town called the Brooklyn Creek Basin, which is from Mount Tabor to the Willamette River, that experiences a lot of basement flooding because the pipes are undersized and there's backup when it both rains and there's a lot of usage of those pipes. Green streets have proven themselves to be very cost-effective because it takes the 37 inches of water that we receive on average a year in this community, and it prevents them from going into the street stormwater drains, thus preventing in a very cost-effective way from the kind of sewer backups that occur under certain conditions. It also happens to be with known as bubble curbs or curb extensions, also happen to be a very similar product, a very similar in the street facility necessary for calming traffic, necessary for prioritizing on certain streets in the city the passage of bikes over the passage of any and pedestrians over the passage of vehicles. These quiet streets that we prioritize next to the busiest streets that were spoken to in the Portland Bicycle Plan for 2030 are called bike boulevards. And our research shows that drivers that never plan to get on a bike, and bike riders, and especially potential bike riders, both support this approach. Car drivers want to eliminate the conflict and the potential conflict between bikes and between cars. And more people will get on their bike if they have a choice, a safe choice, of taking a bike boulevard, a quiet street. They too want to eliminate any potential conflict between themselves and the cars. So these two policies have come forward that in the street utilize basically, if done well, a very similar approach for the benefit of pedestrians and bikes and for the benefit of sewer ratepayers. And a finer point on the green streets as it relates to sewer rates, it is much cheaper to get the stormwater out of the sewer system by preventing it from going into those pipes in the first place than digging up the street and having to put in a much more expensive, bigger pipe. And that's why this makes sense for sewer ratepayers. It's why the City Council passed it unanimously. And I'd like to think it's why the City Council passed unanimously 3 weeks ago, asking that we do these projects more together, bike boulevards, green streets. But you still have to have the money to save by doing both of these kinds of projects together. And that's where there have been few silver linings from this horrible recession that Portland families and we are all living through, very few silver linings. But if there is one, it is in the fact that this city and construction and development in general are receiving sometimes 40% bids, 40% below initial city engineer estimates. So last year and this year, the contract variance, and that might include contingencies that are no longer needed because contracts came in lower, bids that came in lower, the variance in an initial and rough and draft analysis by OMF shows around $49 million in contract variance. So when I proposed the amendment with the support of the City Council last time, I specifically said that we would target moving forward underfunded green streets, and we would target moving forward in a kickstart way the bicycle plan for 2030 by taking a portion of those savings and devoting them to green streets. Swales are part of the city's sewer system. And so today you have in front of you the ordinance that moves that forward and also an attachment that's been distributed to council that shows, again, very roughly about $49 million in contract variances. And by doing these together, we can move both projects forward much quicker than either one was contemplated before, in a way that doesn't have the city going through doing bike boulevards and then coming back, wasting money, and doing Green Street treatments. We save money by doing them together when you have the resources to do it now. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions that council might have. Are we going to have a presentation from staff? Oh, I'm sorry, coming up. We have Mark Lear and Greg Jones from the Bureau of Planning and Transportation. Who wants to go first?
I have a couple of questions, Mayor, just to clarify a few points. The $20 million over 3 years, as I understand it, has no short-term rate impacts. Is that correct?
It has no short-term rate impact. It does not require us to go out for any additional debt than was already planned. It does not require us to, based on council-approved budgets for the last 2 years, it does not require us to forestall any projects. In fact, the 30-some million dollars that are left on the table get devoted to move further down the Gray Pipe CIP list.
Thank you. And as to the impacts on, quote, other capital project expenditures, is it your intention, Mayor, for us to address that through the budget process?
Absolutely. And again, there's only more money left on the table than council approved for the current budget, because although the Bureau had recognized those savings and immediately sought to reprogram. They have their wishes on how they were to reprogram them. This council action today would give clarity to their initial wish list.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Jones?
So I think you very clearly summarized the objectives of the Green Street program in your remarks, but I just wanted to note the community benefits from the Green Street are absolutely broader than the savings for the stormwater system. They create better neighborhoods. They leverage our environmental and transportation investments. They create safer streets. And that's what's really the objective here, is to try to get a good match between the investment by BES and the investment by PDOT on the bike boulevards and green streets. Green streets have become very popular throughout the city. The president of SMILE, the Selwood-Moreland Improvement League, has given testimony on the benefits of the recent improvements on 13th and Spokane. In addition to the improvements there, we have had very strong interest in Green Street improvements on the Division project that we're doing in combination with BES in the Taggart Basin. And if you have driven down Sandy, you've seen some of our work along Sandy to improve that street as well. The Bike Boulevard objectives are really to clarify or to create a low-stress network citywide that connects our schools, our parks, our business districts together to provide a way for bicycling community to access those. And I won't go into it in great detail. You've already heard this as part of the bike plan. But they are basically streets that are low volume, under 1,000 cars a day. There are streets where we are prioritizing crossings at arterials, so we'll be putting in medians, signals, devices to allow easy crossing of bicyclists across the arterials where they match up with the bike boulevards. We will be reducing speed on these streets through signing, striping, and traffic calming devices like speed humps. And we'll be providing signing and wayfinding guidance for users on the bike boulevard system. What we intend to do with the Jumpstart funds is to provide green features that provide traffic calming on these bike boulevards, green semi-diverters, curb extensions, intersection realignments. And, you know, the example in the photo is one of the curb extensions that was done on Sandy at Gleason. What we're not using the funds for are the non-eligible costs, the signals, the bike lanes, striping, speed bumps, non-green traffic calming features. So we're trying to balance between eligible costs and non-eligible costs to make sure that we're not crossing the line with the intended use of the Green Street funds. Mark, do you want to go into some examples of the work we're doing?
Sure. Thanks, Greg. Mark Glear, Traffic Safety Program Manager for the Portland Bureau of Transportation. I just wanted to highlight a couple of the Green Street-type projects that we found specifically are the most useful on our bike boulevards. And these have all been projects that we've partnered with BES to develop and deliver. So the first is a green semi-diverter on Southeast 13th and Spokane. On all of our bike boulevards, we hear concerns about volumes and speed of traffic. This type of improvement is one of those tools that really helps us with the volume concerns, because what it does is that it allows cars to turn off onto the busy street from, in this case, Spokane onto 13th, but it doesn't allow the cars that are on 13th to take that cut-through route on Spokane. It does allow bike traffic to cross at this location. So it's when we're rotating stop signs on a bike boulevard to make it a nice, fast, convenient route for cyclists, we do have to deal with these higher volumes, and the semi-diverter is one way that we can manage volumes. This next Green Street feature that we use on boulevards is an example from Southeast 12th and Clay, a green curb extension. Curb extensions provide additional visibility to the bicyclist, to the pedestrian. They also shorten the crossing distance and can reduce speeds for turning vehicles. So again, with that objective of safer crossings, the green curb extension is definitely one of those tools we use. This is an example of a intersection realignment project at Southeast 55th and Belmont. This next slide shows a before and after picture of what the intersection looked like before we did the improvement and after we partnered with BES to do this improvement. The short story is that we had heard for years from the church that's on the corner there that people couldn't access the church. They were pedestrians had difficulties crossing the street at this location. By reducing some of the asphalt and putting in this green facility, not only do we meet the stormwater objectives, but we made a much safer area for pedestrians, motorists, and cyclists. And then the last device type that we're highlighting is one that we're just starting to use on our next generation boulevards. This is very similar to what we're proposing at 33rd and Going, and it basically provides a short little cycle track for those for the offset intersections that we have throughout the city so that cyclists can stay in a protected area and make a single crossing and not have a short period where they're stuck on the busier street. This one also incorporates the semi-diverter feature to keep traffic from peeling off the busy street onto the bike boulevard. Here's an example of I think how things have changed in Portland. In the 1990s, we did a semi-diverter at 39th and Lincoln. And if you see in this picture, I mean, this I think is a much lower product than we had, a performing product than we have now. You can see, one, that the plantings that we included in that feature, one, the water didn't drain into the feature. We actually had to do more sewer work to make this work. But we also planted, you know, plantings that don't really work from a traffic safety perspective. They've grown up. They need to be maintained. They're actually blocking visibility. If you look at what we're doing now on 13th and Spokane, we're actually managing the stormwater on site. We're putting in native plants that do a good job of dealing with some of the pollution that's running into the swale, as well as we're planting native plants that, you know, will be easier to maintain and still maintain visibility. This last slide that I wanted to show was a Green Street Bike Boulevard opportunity map. Clearly, the ordinance makes it clear, as Greg will talk about in just a second, of a process to make sure that we're meeting both BES and transportation objectives. Our recommendation is that we start with the highest priority boulevard projects that give us a good geographic equity across Portland, both for, you know, the need to have bike boulevards in every neighborhood, but also have, you know, some level of green in every neighborhood as well, and that we would work with BES to ensure that the projects that we selected be, as the ordinance directs, meet both transportation and BES objectives.
So upon passage of the ordinance, the next steps as directed in the ordinance are for BES and PDOT to jointly work to define what those boulevards will be that match up both the priorities of PDOT's bike plan and BES's Green Street plan. So we have been meeting a great deal for the last
2 weeks to try to reach some conclusions on how to move forward. I think the first season, the optimum way to move forward is to address those existing bike boulevards where Green Street enhancements can occur, and those would primarily be in the CSO area in inner east and northeast Portland, where we have some existing bike lanes that can use some upgrades. We will then report back to council through the budget process on what our plan is for the subsequent years on how to move forward with both the bike projects and the Green Street projects combined. So phase one list, look for those community supported projects with, that are absolutely a good mutual match. We will then need to, over the next few weeks, figure out what our project delivery method is, how we're going to design and build these projects between the two bureaus. We will look at staffing to get this work completed. This is a lot of work. It's very intensive, hands-on work with both for design and with community involvement. So we'll be coming back as a part of our budgets to present the staffing requirements. And finally, we will then come back to you with the phase two for the second and third construction seasons on the rest of the plan for the improvements.
Okay. Questions from – oh, first off, I want to move some amendments. One, strike section two. So we'll vote on this next week. And that in paragraph C under the now therefore, that it be amended to reflect the following, including the use of contract savings and guided by the attached financial summary. So we will also have two exhibits, Exhibit A and the Bike Boulevard Green Street Opportunity Map PowerPoint that you just saw as Attachment B. The Bureau of Environmental Services will work with the Bureau of Transportation to identify $20 million over 3 years.
Why are you striking number two? Just out of curiosity.
Section two?
Yeah.
Commissioner Fritz wants to vote on it next week.
Oh, okay.
So it's not an emergency. That's just this is the section.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's I was looking at a different section.
Second. Thank you, Mayor, very much. I appreciate the extra time. So just to clarify on the amendments to Section C of the now therefores,
mm-hmm.
That was something that I did have a question about. So it's $20 million from the current contract savings, essentially. It's not an additional $22 million a year.
It's the attached. You have the financial summary that shows 15.4 from contract savings, and the remainder is coming from existing Green Street accounts.
But they'll be coordinated with the bike plan.
But your amendment that we're currently voting on strikes the bit about the $2 million per year.
Correct. It's identified $20 million over 3 years using that attached Exhibit A.
Thank you.
Mayor Adams, does removing the emergency clause postpone when we can start constructing these bike boulevards?
It does, but we will... we're working on the pre-work for Bike Boulevard, so I don't think it will have any on-the-ground impacts for the next construction season. The curb work, since we had the emergency on, we've come to understand can be done in a variety of weather conditions and doesn't have to be in the warm weather construction season. Since most of this is curb work, it shouldn't have much of an impact.
Thank you, Mayor. I know you always want things done yesterday, and I appreciate your graciousness.
You bet.
Can you give me a little more information about the staffing piece that you just mentioned? Where is it envisioned that more staff are going to be needed?
Well, in PBOT, we don't envision more staff for this. BES might request more staff, and through the budget process, we'll decide whether we agree with that.
I see. And do we have further presentations, or is now the time for questions?
Now the time is for questions and comments.
I'm wondering what would be the impact in rates if we chose to use the savings to decrease the rates rather than do these projects percentage-wise? Does anybody have an answer for that?
$15.4 million impact on rates, one time. So it's a one-time impact. So, Andrew, do you know? We'll have to get back to you on that.
Yeah, that'd be great.
How big is BES's annual budget? including capital, Dean? And that includes capital? Okay, $300 million.
Thank you. And so, again, I could have the question answered later. How much is the total maintenance backlog at BES of unfunded projects? I know in transportation, the mayor's done a lot of work, and we know we have a lot of backlog in transportation, but I'm wondering what the total backlog is of sewer projects in environmental services.
I think we also need to get the safety log that shows how many people are being killed and injured by a lack of on-street safety improvements as well, which there's a backlog on that as well.
Right. I agree. Because I think what we're being asked to vote on here, and I'm in support of voting on it, I think this is a good discussion to have, are we've got a city policy adopted for the greater green streets, and we want to get that funded. We've got a city policy newly adopted on bicycles. And so the question is, we've got these contract savings because of the recession. What's the best allocation of them? And I think you made a persuasive argument that this is the best allocation for it. I think having that other information will help clarify that.
Great.
Thank you.
Any other discussion from council? All right. How many people have signed up?
I have 5 people signed up.
Okay.
The first 3, please come on up, are Terry Parker, Chris Smith, and Mike Houck.
Hi, welcome to the City Council. Glad you're here. Terry, why don't you begin?
Okay, Terry Parker. I guess you'd call me a Portland native since I was born and raised in Portland, lived here all my life. Water and sewer rates that affect the cost of living in Portland must be kept affordable for all users. Rating utility taxpayer dollars, ratepayer dollars, to fund a selfish special interest in pet projects like bicycle infrastructure is a classic form of embezzlement. The people who I've spoken with within the local financial industry, including some who are avid bicyclists, concur with this assessment. In the private sector, such a scam would likely be called cooking the books. Commissioner Fritz, I seem to remember one of your campaign issues when you're running for city commissioner was the concept that voters should have a say on major financial undertakings by the city. Whatever happened to that lost model? The concept of labeling this raid on utility ratepayer dollars an emergency and ramming it through is an obvious deceptive tactic to sidestep public opinion. Moreover, even though this ripoff may have the consent of the city's highly vetted, one-sided, and stacked deck budget committee, a committee that earlier in this meeting was tilted even more towards a social engineering mindset, nowhere in the materials handed out at last week's public budget forums was this misappropriation of funds even noted or mentioned so the general public could weigh in with an opinion. Mayor Adams, you want to increase the graduation rates in Portland schools. Is that to say that students should follow this con job example of taking and cheat on tests to obtain their diplomas? Should the public follow the same corrupt example when dealing with the city and managing finances in their daily lives? At the Portland Utility Review Board hearing last week, 100% of the testifiers were against increasing water and sewer rates. Not only are water and sewer rates paid for by the users, but things like public golf courses, swimming pools, tennis courts, etc. are also funded with user fees. Currently, arrogant freeloading bicycle activists want all the frills of specialized and often exclusive bicycle infrastructure as long as somebody else pays for it. One more trip made on a bicycle compared to by car is one less trip that helps pay for transport infrastructure. The bottom line is that equity requires the now pedal-pushing deadbeat bicyclists accept the financial responsibility themselves in a manner that any local funding for bicycle infrastructure comes from license registration and other user fees directly assessed on bicyclists only, not from an unethical and fraudulent raid on utility ratepayer dollars that are needed elsewhere. If the council has any integrity at all, this ordinance will be defeated. Now, I have a question. There was a separation of funds up there. Who is paying for the signals, the striping, the signing, etc.? This ought to come directly from the bicyclists, not anybody else. Thank you.
I appreciate your consistency on this issue, Terry. Commissioner.
Good morning. Chris Smith. I am a deadbeat cyclist who contributed this morning to our air quality reduction of congestion and need for less auto parking by bicycling to this meeting this morning. I'm firmly in support of this measure. I believe that in an era of scarce public resources, we have to find every twofer and even threefer opportunity that we can. And I would say that even if we did not have some immediate contract savings, we should be programming future work for water quality to achieve these double benefits. I think this is absolutely a good idea. I applaud the mayor and the council for moving this direction. I do want to sound one note of caution, and that is that in reprioritizing BES's project list, which is essentially what we're doing, whether that's an established approved list or even just a wish list, we are changing the benefits and burdens that will come out of that process. And I think that we need to be careful and sensitive as we move forward with this, that we look at that redistribution of benefits, burdens, and effectiveness and make sure we're keeping the intent of those programs as whole as possible. I believe that in the end, the combined benefits to water quality and to the bicycle network will be a clear win for the city, but I just want to caution that we are sensitive to those environmental and other benefits. Thank you.
And just to underscore, because I think everyone up here shares that, this is additional funding of $15.4 million to Green Streets, mm-hmm. which will be done in a way, as you say, with a twofer or threefer benefit for saving people's lives and providing more people safe and convenient ways to get around town, more trips by bike and pedestrian. Mr. Houck.
Mayor Adams, Commissioners, my name is Mike Houck. I'm here representing the Urban Green Spaces Institute, and I'm here to support cycling, parks, trails, and healthy watersheds and green streets. I sat on Metro's Green Street Technical Advisory Committee. I think it took us 3 years to finally come up with a document. It's a pleasure to see some of these projects being implemented. BES until relatively recently, and I've been working with folks in BES for 30-plus years, was in fact a sewer bureau. I was surprised to hear you refer to yourself as the sewer commissioner when in fact I think you're the healthy watersheds commissioner were, and of course Commissioner Saltzman is now. I was actually pleased to sit on the review committee that hired Dean Marriott, and I will say that with Dean's tenure, that's when the green infrastructure concept and the movement, not entirely away from gray, of course, because we need the pipes as well, but the movement, acceleration, increasing green infrastructure projects in the Bureau, which have twofers, threefers, fourfers, has occurred under Dean's leadership and his staff. He has a fabulous watershed staff, and as I mentioned at an earlier hearing, contrary to 30 years ago, we have folks who really understand ecosystem health. So thanks to Mayor Adams' leadership, via the Greater Green Initiative, Dean's continued leadership and his staff, Dan's support of those efforts. BES has, in fact, I think, become a more comprehensive bureau, akin to the Park Bureau, really. Olmsted's, I always have to get Olmsted, in 1903 park plan called for a comprehensive park system, including natural areas and active recreation facilities, and BES is now moving, has moved, and I hope it will continue to move and increase spending on green infrastructure to become a more comprehensive watershed agency, blending the gray and the green. We need more green, in my opinion, to make the appropriate balance. So I just want to say that we're pleased. I will say my initial reaction was to be a little hesitant, a little skeptical, concerned about perhaps funding going away from the green stuff in the Bureau. And thanks to Bob Salinger, your staff, Mayor Adams, BES staff. I sort of think of this as almost as a Rubik's Cube, trying to figure out how, in fact, what PBOT staff described as meeting both BES and PBOT's objectives and doing the twofers and threefers and so forth was not easy to comprehend initially. So I'm pleased that with the Watershed Investment Fund will continue to operate. I'm pleased to hear that we'll probably actually increase green infrastructure spending and, of course, implementing Green Street. So thank you very much.
Thank you all very much. The next two. Sorry. And then I need to add at the end Leslie Carlson and Carl Larson, because I forgot to mention them at the beginning.
Bob Salinger and Carl Larson.
And Leslie, why don't you come up as well? I'm sorry to keep you waiting. Welcome back to the City Council. Glad you're here. Mr. Salinger.
Good morning. My name is Bob Salinger. I'm the Conservation Director for the Audubon Society of Portland. I'm also here as, not representing, but as a member of the BES Budget Committee, which I've served on for 6 years now. And I'm here to support the proposal before you today. Audubon supports it. But I also want to sound a little bit of a cautionary note. First off, I want to congratulate Mayor Adams for his leadership on sustainability, particularly on bikes and green infrastructure. You're creating an unparalleled legacy of sustainability. I don't think we've really seen this before in a North American city, and that's an amazing thing. You're also making difficult decisions because we're talking about system change here. We're not talking about minor tweaks. We're talking about changing the foundation of how we do things. And we're implementing the vision of the Portland Watershed Plan, which developed in 2005, which talked about integrating green strategies in every single city project. And I went to BES this morning because I didn't have my copy with me and asked them for a copy so I could wave it around. But all they would give me was the disc. I wanted to present you with an impressive document, but apparently BES has absorbed the sustainability thing and they won't give me paper anymore. So I'm going to wave the disc around. But it did call for every single project to be looking for green strategies, the one first, two first, three first that you've mentioned. And this does that. At the same time, I want to express my appreciation to Dean Merritt and BES and echo some of Mike's comments. I give Dean a tremendous amount of credit for moving BES from a sewer agency to an environmental services agency. I think we need to stop and recognize that he's done this during the most difficult period that an agency could possibly face. The most expensive project in the history of the city of Portland, the Big Pipe, is coming in on time and under budget. That's why we're here today to talk about those savings. And that's a phenomenal accomplishment. You look at other cities. I came from Boston, where they're still paying off their big tunnel. As a member of the Budget Committee, I'm acutely aware of how difficult it is to balance these different competing things and make sure that we do the gray and the green. If one doesn't work, the other doesn't work either. We know that we need to have both. So my cautionary note, I do worry. These are savings. I recognize that. At the same time, I also know from the budget process that there's a lot of things that are still unfunded that we're worried about, and we have some very, very difficult decisions to face. We know, for example, that the trees that we heard about earlier, the new tree code, is going to be expensive to implement, and the money hasn't been found yet. We know that the river plan that's coming before you in a month is going to be very expensive to implement, and that the city has a real role to step up. We're asking industry to do the same. That money hasn't been found yet. Even something like the invasive species coordinator position, a real flagship project for the city 2-3 years ago, the program director for that program is vacant right now. We're holding it vacant because there isn't funding available for it. So we need to be thinking, as was already discussed by Chris, about what falls off the other end and make sure that we're really looking carefully at that, that we're holding BES harmless over the long haul for critical projects. We need to be looking to expand the size of the pie. That's the biggest thing I would convey to you this morning. We need to be looking at having industry internalize costs for environmental impacts, something we're talking about in the river plan. We need to be talking about all the bureaus looking for green strategies all the time. That's something we should have been doing since 2005. These streets should be green streets automatically. And lastly, we need to be looking toward things like the Intertwine Alliance, which is seeking out new sources of funding, state and federal, to add to the pie. The Intertwine just applied for a $100,000 Tiger grant for sustainable transportation. So those kinds of strategies. So we're not necessarily competing, we're just enlarging. So thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Mayor and commissioners, thank you for your time today. My name's Carl Larson, representing the Bicycle Transportation Alliance. I'm here because the BTA's advocacy team is currently in Washington, D.C. at the National Bike Summit, and they're there representing this city and this state on a national stage and working to create new sources of federal active transportation funding to match what cities like Portland are beginning to invest at a local level. They're also being fawned over by lobbyists from all over the country who look to Portland for inspiration and leadership. They get jet lag and a videotaped welcome from Lance Armstrong, and I get to talk to you, who are really the people who I should thank for our current status, the city's status, not just as the talk of the National Bike Summit, but as a leader in eco-friendly design and all-around livability. Your leadership has made this city a model for bicyclists and bioswale fanatics alike. And I actually just got a nasty email from a friend of mine who's a landscape architect in New York because I failed to send her the 2010 Portland Stormwater Management calendar. I have to get that sent out soon. Yeah. So Portland is a leader, and you are Portland's leaders, and I thank you for your leadership, and thanks especially to you, Commissioner Saltzman. Your proactive efforts to ensure that the Portland Bicycle Plan for 2030 gets not just adopted but funded and built have brought us to where we are today. Today, in the form of the Green Streets proposal, we have a commitment from Mayor Adams to kickstart that plan and stormwater management plans with an impressive $20 million. I think Portland's at its best when we're making the most of its limited tax monies, and this proposal sets an example for all city government by dedicating contract savings towards future savings. I'm from Boston, too, and contract savings are kind of something new to me. So we're pleased to have been assured by Mayor Adams' staff that this proposal does not come at the expense of vital watershed investments. And the fact that you've made a way to make the most of our existing funds and existing streets to make our citizens and our ecosystems healthier and better connected is really phenomenal. Smart and creative funding like this will produce a return on investment that typical road projects never will. Green Streets investments keep citizens out of harm's way and pollutants out of our rivers. So the BTA thanks you, Mayor Adams, for proposing the Green Streets initiative, and we urge City Council to see this proposal not just as curbs and sewers, but as a key to maintaining Portland's national reputation as a city committed to the health of its residents and its natural environment. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Hi.
Good morning. My name is Leslie Carlson. I'm a deadbeat cyclist as well and also a co-chair of the Sustainable Development Commission. And I'm here testifying in support today. The Sustainable Development Commission actually spent a lot of time a couple years ago thinking about infrastructure investments and how to make the best use of our dollars and get social, environmental, and economic benefits out of that infrastructure. And we came up with this little working document called Green Infrastructure. And I just want to read you one of our principles because I think it is relevant today. Today's infrastructure investment can and must solve multiple problems rather than just one. These include climate change, obesity and health, environmental health, air and water quality, habitat loss, and economic recession. So we really see the sort of systems approach here of using infrastructure dollars and doing projects that achieve multiple objectives as a good thing. The second thing I wanted to point out to you in one of our principles was we really want to encourage cross-bureau integration. We think if we're going to solve big problems, social, economic, and environmental problems, it's going to require tearing down walls between disciplines and bureaus and working together. And having PBOT and BES do this together is going to be a good thing. And I think last, one of the benefits of doing this kind of cutting-edge work in Portland is that it builds expertise in our market that we can sell to other regions and to the rest of the world. We can really show the rest of the world how to solve these really tough problems, and then we can potentially use it as a way to build an economic development strategy. Thank you.
Well, before you go, yeah. I mean, the great folks at BTA, Audubon, Mike's House folks they get a little more airtime than you and your group does. And so I want to take this opportunity to thank you and everyone on the Sustainability Commission. Your work on the Green Fur, 2-for-3-for-4-fers, many years ago inspired a lot of other policy and decision-making and strategy-making. So
thank you.
That doesn't get enough recognition. I want to take this opportunity to thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Unless there's additional testimony.
I would just like to say that I'm happy, Mayor Adams, that you've asked for, in addition to the information Commissioner Fritz has asked for, which is important as well, but that you've asked for the statistics on the fatalities that have occurred in Portland due to bicycle deaths. I use bike boulevards, and the reason I use them is because it is a terrifying experience, and we haven't heard testimony to this, and I think it's important for us sometimes to not lose sight of the forest for the trees. It is a terrifying experience to be on a main street, even in inner Portland where people are bike-friendly, and have absolutely no room between you and a passing car. The further east you get, the more you get hostility towards bikers, and I live about as far east as you can live and still be in Portland. I've been spit at, yelled at, had people pretend like they were going to hit me. Maybe they recognize me. That could be that, too.
But that was just Nick.
That was just Commissioner Fish, yeah. And so I think that this is a public safety measure, and for people who commute regularly on bicycles, it is a haven to be able to go to a side street that has been demarcated for bicycle uses, in order not just that it improve the ecology of the city, but it's safe. And so I appreciate Mayor Adams you bringing out that point as well, because that's what resonates with me more than anything, that this is really a bicycle safety measure more than anything else. Thank you.
We'll now vote on the amendment, and it would be useful. It's just a request. You're not required to do it as you vote. If you're willing to give some indication of the underlying non-emergency ordinance as well, but we will be officially voting on the amendment. Can you please call the roll?
Fritz.
I greatly appreciate, Mayor Adams, your willingness to allow a little more time to get the questions answered. And more importantly, I think, is to explain to citizens what exactly we're doing here and why. And I found much of the testimony very persuasive. We have city policies which we're trying to align. I especially appreciate Commissioner Carlson's comments that this is a systems approach and the importance of integrating different bureaus' work and getting away from the silos and figuring out that, indeed, if we support the policy of the Greater Green Policy that was adopted in 2007, and we support the bike policy, which we just adopted, it makes sense to look at which streets are on both plans and how can we achieve multiple objectives using ratepayers' money in this case and taxpayers' money in other cases. So I, again, appreciate the willingness to take a little bit of additional time and also to make sure that the ordinance specifies exactly what money we're spending and when. Aye.
Fish.
Most of our best work is the product of collaboration between bureaus, and I'm very pleased that PBOT and BES have come up with this proposal, and in particular, the mayor and Commissioner Saltzman have worked together to come up with a real funding source to kickstart a plan that we've adopted and we support. And I want to just invoke something Mike Houck said earlier when he mentioned Olmsted. And Mike often mentions Olmsted because he wants to remind us that the foundation for the system we currently enjoy was set out over 100 years ago. And that's another way of reminding us that our actions today need to stand the test of time. We need to be thinking forward more than a week, an election, a cycle. We need to think about the next 100 years and what this city is going to look like. And I think we're on the right track. And I think this innovative funding plan and this collaborative approach is likely to bear fruit. I'm very pleased with the testimony we got today, which I think was very informative. So I believe we're on the right track, and I intend to vote yes on both matters. Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, I vote yes on the amendment, and I just want to thank Mayor Adams and Dean Marriott and Sue Keel for, I think, working out what is a smart investment strategy. My whole support for this approach was premised on the condition there be no impact on sewer rates as proposed for this year, and those rates are 6.99%, and I wouldn't support this package if it was going to increase rates, and it won't. It does mean some things will be deferred. Capital projects will be deferred. But this is an opportunity for a smart investment strategy, taking advantage of the fact that BES is investing heavily in green streets and matching up those opportunities with the opportunities to establish bike boulevards and other investments that are make it safer for bicyclists and pedestrians, I would add, to move around the city. And I think that's what we all want is a balanced transportation system, and we want it done in a smart manner and in a way that will not increase rates this year. And that's the basis of my support for this package. Next week.
You voted aye on the amendment?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
Leonard?
Aye.
Adams?
Well, just thank you, my colleagues, for their input and assistance in crafting this. I want to thank the bureaus for your work, both bureaus. I want to thank my own office staff for their work on this. A couple of just in closing, anytime anyone proposes a new approach, And it takes effort to explain it and get to explain it well and to get people to understand it. And this sort of two-fer or three-fer approach, I think, falls into that category, as was noted by Mike Kauk. I want to just clarify a few things, given what I've read in the press. No, you can't use sewer dollars for mental health services. You can't. You cannot use sewer capital dollars for mental health services. There is no alchemy anywhere that can make that kind of translation. You can use capital dollars in a variety of different ways, as long as it's capital dollars and it is adherent to the bond covenants and the rules on which those fees or taxes are collected. You can just as easily frame the issue as taking Green Street projects off the deferral list by this $15.4 million, as you can say anything in the Gray Pipe project list as being deferred. So there are a variety of ways that you can describe this, depending on your point of view. I like this approach because it is balanced. $25 million for Gray Pipe and the savings we never forecasted, and just over $15 million to take projects off the deferral list for Green Streets. The taxpayers win, public safety wins, human safety wins, and we get to move forward both policies. So I appreciate Commissioner Schaltzman for working and his staff for working with us on this, and I think we've come to a great conclusion. Aye. It is amended. Which one are we on now?
337.
Can you please read the title for 337?
Yes. Improve land use regulations through the Regulatory Improvement Code Amendment Package 5.
All right. We are second reading, so please call the vote.
Fritz.
First of all, thank you very much to the staff and to Mayor Adams for diligent work on this. Sandra Wood, Jessica Richmond, and Eric Engstrom in the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability have worked long and hard with me and my staff on this amendments and also on the Planning Commission package. And I want to recognize especially Mayor Adams for being willing to share this project and allow me to participate with you in refining it and now in wholeheartedly supporting it. A lot of these regulations go unnoticed and seem rather dull to most people, but have significant impacts on neighbors, builders, developers, renters, and property owners. Planners have toiled to make them more readable, more useful for all stakeholders. And the Planning Commission did sterling work, and with this action, Council recognizes their importance and their expertise by sending some items back to the Planning Commission for further review and discussion. There have been many items that have been improved through this process. The code has been updated to incorporate more standards that address sustainable development, such as wind turbines, water cisterns, eco-roofs, bicycle storage, and solar panels. The courtyard standards and open space requirements have become more transparent, with the requirements being in the code rather than in the administrative rules, and thanks to the folks in East Portland who pointed that out. We have updated and clarified when lot remnants are buildable. We have acted quickly to address significant problems with retaining wall size and placement in front yards, and we'll have that further discussed by the Planning Commission. And I have to note that both in that case and with the folks from East Portland coming in about courtyard gardens, that citizens showing up at City Council at the last hearing, well, it turned out to be not the last hearing because we had a few more, but certainly turned up at City Council after a two-year process, individual citizens made a difference and got changes in this package. So if you ever doubt that showing up at City Council can make a difference, this package is living proof that there isn't. That there is no doubt. I didn't say that very well at all.
I think we knew what you meant.
You knew what I meant. You can
testimony has impact.
Thank you, Mayor. Yet again, you're helping me out. We took a closer look at developments of corner lots in the R5 zoning area and how to provide true affordability with design that is compatible with the neighborhood. And some of these regulations here need to be monitored for effectiveness, particularly the loading regulations, which may not be quite what we want, but that's the joy of planning, that we do the best we can in the time allowed with this input we get, and then we figure out whether it's working or not, and we continue to monitor. So that's one of the reasons that I'm very pleased that I'm able to participate on the council in planning issues. I greatly appreciate the work of all the citizens and the staff, and again, Mayor Adams, for welcoming me as a valued partner in his project. And I thank Tom Bizzo and my staff, who has been absolutely wonderful in helping figure out the code amendments with the staff. Aye.
Fish?
Well, I'll simply associate myself with Commissioner Fritz's comments.